Okay.
Here we go.
The broadcast is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
Hi, everyone. This is John again, filling in for Dimna. I'm just going to hand straight over to Kathy to do the introductions. Kathy?
Hey there. How are you all doing? I just want to let you know we all survived the earthquake just fine, and that is good news, except for the wineries in Napa. So if you're planning on coming out wine tasting, you should maybe not do that this week. So we're going to focus on Dallas, and I know a lot of you have been to Dallas and understand that it's an area that's had that probably the highest job growth in the country. And we've really liked sending investors there since 2004, but then over the last year, prices just really increased and cash flows decreased and inventory was really down. So people were having a little bit of a hard time getting property, but Leah has, our guest today, Leah, I know a lot of you already know her. She is a property manager for a lot of you and a lot of Real Wealth Network members, and she also sources properties. And lately she has been making a lot of new relationships with builders and has found more inventory. So you may have already seen some webinars that Real Wealth Network has done last week. And if not, then you'll have a chance to kind of get an overview today of the kind of properties that are available and the financing for international investors, which is really exciting. And we really have had a hard time finding that in other markets, but Leah has several lenders that you can work with. So she'll be going over that today. So with that, Leah, welcome.
I appreciate you having me.
You bet. She had 4 hours sleep last night, so she's going to really try her best here. What concert was it?
One Direction.
One Direction, really? Oh, my daughter would be so jealous.
Okay, well, I have two almost teenage daughters, so it wasn't my choice.
Okay, yeah, well, that's good to know. All right. Well, what's
Before
going
I get
on
started,
in Dallas?
I want to talk a little bit about Dallas as a whole, what we offer, and then what we have available. Before I get into it, I want to make sure everybody understands I'm going to be talking a lot about loan programs and property types and how the process works. My license, of course, is a real estate agent, so just understand any information I give you is based on what my contacts and what my experience has told me. And so, of course, once you make the decision you're ready to take the next step into looking into investing in Dallas, or if you're already here and you want to look at perhaps how you can leverage what you already have, we'll sit down, we'll go through everything with you, and then make the recommendation to the appropriate people. So that being said, I've got a lot of information I'm going to cover, so please bear with me. And then at the end, if anybody has any questions, we'll certainly go through those as well. First, I'm going to talk a little bit about my company. We are a full-service investment firm. We are licensed and insured in the state of Texas. We specialize in property management and investment property acquisition. We've got close to 700 properties that we have clients that constantly buy and sell out of property every month. And so we help from stage one of the transaction where you're looking at property, looking to buy property, through the end, which, of course, is everybody's goal is to make money and then sell out and take that money and buy even more. And so our whole process has been developed through that entire phase. Both my husband and I own the company together. We're family-owned and operated. We're both native to Texas, lived here our whole lives. We are A-plus rated and accredited with the Better Business Bureau. For those of you who don't know what that is, there's an organization here in the United States that rates companies based on their integrity, based on their honesty, all those different things, and A-plus is the best rating that you can get, and we do hold that. As I mentioned earlier, we're licensed and insured, and the way that we've built our business is that we believe that having more clients that make a little bit of money each to you is a much better way to proceed than making a lot of money off every single client. And so the things that you'll see, and when I go through our property management services, you're going to see it a lot. Our profit margin is low, but we have a lot of clients and a lot of services, but we're very by the book. And so when I tell you how we operate, it's very specific, it's very standard, and it'll always be the same. And so whether you come to me with one property or whether you come to me with 40, the level of service, the pricing, everything's going to be the same. And so it's just a level of consistency that we have here. And so these are all the different affiliations and things that we're members of. And I'm sure you've heard of many of these, but basically what this tells you is we're not only licensed agents, we're also realtors, which is a completely different code of ethics and a completely different level of service that we have to provide. And my husband actually serves on many boards in the state hearing complaints against other realtors and especially property managers. And much of what we've done with our company is making sure that we're listening to those complaints and hearing what other people are doing wrong and making sure we're doing the complete opposite. For those of you who already work with me, you know that's very much how I operate. Talking about Dallas, there is such a diverse market here. When you look at most cities around the Metroplex and most cities around the world and the United States, there's so many different ways that cities have their growth. Some of it's going to be from oil as a sector, some it's going to be from medical. The thing that I find so unique about Dallas is that no sector is more than 20%. And so if oil falls, if gas prices drop, or God forbid they go up and then people stop buying, really whatever fashion start to drop, stock market drops, nothing has more than 20% here. And so as we've had many different crises over the course of the last decade, which has affected so much of the country so drastically, Dallas has really stayed strong. We've got over almost 6.5 million people now. They're anticipating we're going to double that in the next 15 to 20 years. We've got so many suburbs, so many school districts, so much money. That's the biggest difference, I think, that when people come here, what they recognize is the level of shopping and development that happens here, even through all of the recession and everything that happened starting 2007, 2008. We have no state income tax here. We've got close to 10,000 employers in North Texas. We've got more shopping centers per capita than any other major U.S. city. We've just got a lot of things going for us here, and that's allowed me to, of course, have the company that I've been able to grow, and most of that is because of Dallas. Of course, I'd like to think that me and my team play a role, but we're certainly in the best city to be able to do what we do. Dallas is number 3 for job growth, and we're the 14th largest economy in the world. We're the 6th largest in the United States, so those are some pretty incredible numbers. And when you think about the fact that we've got such a large economy, but it's so diverse, it just shows you why we have the strength that we do and why the recession and whether or not it's a depression is debatable. But in many parts of the nation, it was. And I just feel like Dallas stayed so strong because of that diversity. Our prices surpassed pre-recession levels by July of 2013, and we've continued to rise. I have properties that I manage that have gone up over 12% this year alone. And so we are in a completely different position than we've ever been in before. I was selling real estate in 2006 and 2007 and saw things selling for less than what they're selling now. So it's a pretty incredible time right now in Dallas, and we're very fortunate that we have the connections we do to be able to help people not only have property here they already own and make them perform, but to be able to help people acquire more. So moving forward, we've got 19 actually now, Fortune 500 companies. We've got a 19th that has territory here now. And a third of those are in our suburbs, but you can see some of these major names that are here. Now, the reason I mentioned that a third of them are in the suburbs is because our city layout is very different. We've got loops that cover our entire city where you can literally make a circle around both the Dallas Metroplex and the Fort Worth Metroplex. And then we've got a series of perpendicular highways that run north, south, and east and west that allow you to get anywhere very quickly. And so when we're looking at where the businesses are, we're not only looking in the city, as you do in most metropolitan cities, but we're looking in the suburbs as well. A third of our employers are in the suburbs, so whether you're looking at a property in the city or whether you're looking at a property 40 miles from the city, you're still going to have major employers that your tenants are going to be able to work at. So as I mentioned, we've got over a third of the Fortune 500 companies here in the suburbs. We're the largest corporate headquarter concentration in the United States. And we add an average of 187 new jobs and 470 residents daily. That is huge. That is a huge increase. And what that means is that people are looking for housing. And, of course, that's what we provide. So there's a reason why our vacancy rate is so low, and we're going to talk a little bit about many of the reasons why that is. But the biggest one is going to be the number of people looking. There is always going to be more demand in a market like this than there's going to be supply. We do have the second number, largest number of freeway miles per capita. As you can see, this is just the Dallas side of the Metroplex, and it's a very easy system. So if you look at those highway structures that I've highlighted here, you're going to see that you really can get anywhere. The majority of these highways are going to have 65 or 70 mile per hour speed limits, and many of our highways are turning into toll roads. So you can get 70, 75 miles an hour. Many people drive much faster. You can cover 60 miles across the city in 45 or 50 minutes. So it really doesn't matter where you live. You can work and still have time to get there and have a lower commute or a shorter commute than most of the nation. What that's allowed is it's allowed us to expand our reach out. It's allowed us to look into nicer areas, lower crime rates, better schools, allows us to have a better tenant clientele. Now, of course, as I mentioned, we look at the process from day one all the way through the end. And so we're also looking, when you go to resell, are we going to be in an area where you're going to be able to get top dollar and where people are going to want to live? And the answer is yes, because we're targeting those areas. So for those of you that are looking to buy properties for very, very cheap and you know, transitioning type areas, I'm not the person for you. We don't deal in those areas. We manage in those areas, but I don't feel that they offer the best investment potential in today's market. And so we're pushing you into areas that have three things. We have three criteria we're looking for. Number one, we want to be within 15 to 20 minutes of major employers and city centers. So every area that we sell is within 15 to 20 minutes of the city center. Wonderful thing about DFW is we have so many large city center suburbs that it's very, very easy to do that. Number two, we want to make sure that you have cash flow coming in every month, and so you want to make sure that you're positive on that rental property. And then number three, of course, we want to make sure that you have enough initial equity at acquisition, along with the heightened appreciation of being in that close proximity. You've got three ways to make money, and so it's very, very difficult to fail. One thing that I always tell people is real estate's always going to have some value, and the better you position yourself with the location of your real estate and the better price you buy in with, and of course the better price that you're getting for the rent, the better the return's going to be. And so we're looking at the whole phase of the process up front to try and alleviate some of the pitfalls that many people come to me having already been in. So that being said, we've talked about the toll roads. We've got the bus and light rail system, which is quite incredible, and it expands every year. It makes it to where people that need to work downtown or work in high traffic areas can take that light rail and cut their commute in half. They can travel a longer distance for work in a lot less time. So moving on, let me talk a little bit about what we can offer. And if you don't mind, I'm going to take a quick sip of water. So in the United States, when you acquire a property, whether you buy it in Dallas, whether you buy it in Houston, really doesn't matter. Whoever has it listed is going to be offering a buyer agent commission. And so what that means is that the seller is paying agents, people like me, to bring buyers to their properties. So what that means is that I can help you buy your property. I can acquire the property with you, assist you with all of that part of the transaction, and you don't have to pay me anything because the seller's paying us. And so when we go and we work with you to negotiate the contract, locate the property, take care of getting the inspections and the quotes and all the things that we're going to do to take care of the process for you, you're not having to pay anything for that other than the actual cost. So what we do is phase one, if you decide you're ready to move forward, you're going to contact us. We're going to go through what you're looking for. We're going to talk about what your goals are, and we're going to make our recommendations to you. We are then going to give you access to our list of properties. We've got them organized by single family, two to four family, and multifamily. We deal all the way up to 100 units. And then from there, we're going to start talking about numbers and returns and all the different things that you need to be weighing when you're looking at acquiring a property. Once you pick a property, we're going to take care of working with you to get the inspection scheduled, get utilities on if it's not already on, getting all the rent rolls, everything that you need to know if it's tenant occupied, and, of course, getting the quotes. And we're going to get the initial quote before the inspector ever goes out. That way, if the quote isn't what I'm expecting, because we can ballpark it pretty close just by viewing the property all my years, we're pretty good at that. But if the quote comes in too high, you can back out, no penalty. And all the contracts, you're going to have an inspection or an option period, which gives you the right to go in, and we're going to get everything checked out, make sure you know exactly what you're buying, get a final quote revised with whatever we find on inspection, renegotiate if we can, and then from there, once you're ready to move forward, we'll either assist you with finishing up your finance, we'll get you through to closing. The moment you close, before we even start going through rehab, we're going to go ahead and list the property. So because of our reputation, because of the number of properties we have at all times and the way that they look, we're able to lease most of our properties before they even finish the renovation process. And so it just helps minimize that vacancy timeline. That's another one of those things we do to keep that rate low. These are all the different types of properties that we're looking at. We're talking about short sales, bankruptcies, even some owner-occupied, foreclosures, investor liquidation. That's one of my favorites, where an investor, you know, either he's getting divorced and getting sued, or perhaps, you know, somebody died. It could be a mistake. You never know. But an investor that already has a performing property they need to let go of. And those are a great thing to acquire because they're already performing, so it's walking in with instant comfort. And so these are all the different types of properties we're looking at. We're looking at anything from a single-family property up to large apartment complexes, and we help you every step of the way. This talks a little bit about my company's volume and our statistics and how we operate. So we've got over 350 active clients. Our largest client currently owns 44 properties. We have between 70 to 100 listings at a time. We have a designated leasing agent team. All they do is lease properties. There's six people on our team, and they're only leasing. That gives you an idea of how many tenants are coming to us directly to be able to keep six people full-time just for that. Our vacancy rate for properties that are not initial acquisitions is under 5%. pretty good number, especially given the number of properties that we have. And the reason we do that is, number one, we're talking about listing immediately. We're talking about making sure we're getting high volume and desired areas. And then we also are doing a re-rent during the end of the lease. So we're going to talk about that in a little bit so that you're not having to wait till the tenant moves out to find a new tenant. On tenants I place, my eviction rate's less than 5%. It's actually closer to 2%. On all my properties, I go to eviction court typically once a month, sometimes not at all. We have a lot of systems in place to avoid eviction. We'll talk about that a little bit later as well. This is a big bullet point I want to focus on. 95% of my tenancies where I place the tenant end with no balance left. About 40% of our tenants pay more than 1 month's rent as a security deposit, but the minimum we ever take is 1 month's rent. That gives you a lot of protection, because if you're swift about making sure they're paying their rent, you're working with them to make sure they're not getting too far behind, and then, of course, you're, if they can't afford the property, working with them to re-rent it as opposed to just evicting them, it allows us to be in a position where you're not going to be so upside down. So we make sure when we put a tenant in there, we're doing all the steps necessary to make sure they're taking care of it, because, again, we're looking to the end goal of selling that property, and we want to make sure that it's in the condition it was when you acquired it. Our management fee for real wealth clients is 6.5%. Again, that doesn't matter whether you have one property or whether you have 100. There's no upcharge on repairs. We only bill you the actual cost of the repairs. We don't take kickbacks. We don't make money from anybody we refer to you. We just recommend them because they do a good job. Our system is up to date 24/7, so you can get access into our website, and you can view your reports up to date 24/7. You don't have to wait for us to email reports. You don't have to wait for us to let you know your report is ready. You can go in there anytime, any day. You can see your tenant's leases. You can see the ledgers. You can see copies of any charges that have assessed against the account for repairs or anything, and it's up to date 24/7. It's a very transparent system, so our owners, our landlords, our tenants, our vendors, and us all have access to the same system. There's just different levels of information that are viewable. So a tenant's only going to be able to see their part of the website, while you can see their website and mine. And so it's a very transparent system. We're not having to transmit information from one to another, so it just gets rid of all that user error risk. And for some of you that have been with other management companies before, you may have experienced that. And, again, we've put these systems in place to make sure that we're not falling into those pitfalls that other companies do. When your tenant vacates, state law in Texas requires you itemize or account for that deposit to them within 30 days. We take care of that for you, of course, at no charge. We fully document move-in and move-out condition for care of 1099-ing all vendors on your behalf. And we're going to talk a little bit more about how repairs work in a moment. Part of what we do in that 6.5% rate is we do quarterly visits both inside and out. And so we are going inside every property and walking around the exterior of every property at least once every 3 months. We're checking for things like unoccupied or unauthorized pets, occupants who are not allowed, dirty air filters, not watering the yard, not mowing the yard, anything like that. And so when we do those visits, most of which are done by off-duty police officers that also work for me in their off time, we are making sure that there's not signs they're overlooking. So it could be that they've torn up the carpet, that they didn't change their air filter, or it could be that the house is shifting and it needs soaker hoses or perhaps even piers for the foundation. And those are things that, if caught early, can be much cheaper than if they're neglected for years and years and years. And unfortunately, much of the properties that I take over have been in that position where they've been neglected. So again, we're seeing what happens when things aren't done this way. When we get into one of these properties, if we find a citation that's urgent, like a dirty air filter, we're going to immediately change it and bill it back to the tenant, because what we don't want to do is compromise the integrity of your HVAC or air system. And we're going to recommend you purchase a home warranty, which is basically a residential service contract to protect against things inside the house from breaking. We have a discounted product that we can get access to because of our volume. We have some like 500 contracts with this one company. And it's a product designed to guarantee against the damage of things inside the property for tenant use. And so that's going to include things like your water heater. It's going to include your HVAC system. It's going to include plumbing stoppages, those types of things. And for that policy, if they get out there and they see a dirty air filter or a dirty coil, they're going to negate coverage because of lack of maintenance. And so those are one of the reasons why we do those walkthroughs and photograph everything, because we have the evidence to be able to support those claims. So I think it's real, real important that whether you work with me in Dallas or another firm somewhere else, you make sure they're checking on your properties, because you can't put a tenant in the home and ignore them. Just because they're not calling in repair requests doesn't mean that they're taking care of the home. It just means that there's nothing that they want you out there for right then. So, again, we do those quarterly visits, and, of course, there are some tenants we do have to visit more frequently. In terms of the listing and leasing of the property, as I mentioned, we take care of listing and finding a new tenant. Our fee for that is 75% of 1 month's rent. That includes offering a commission to the leasing agent. So much like I talked about how buyers get paid from the seller, a tenant's agent gets paid from us. And so that 75% includes me paying back out 35% to the leasing agent. We negotiate and take care of the lease, and that's no additional charge. It's included in that fee. And then if your tenant's lease is going to get renewed and we're going to raise the rent or keep it the same and whatever the situation may be, we're not going to charge you for that. We take care of that at no cost. So we're not upcharging on the repairs. We're not charging you for lease renewals. We're only charging you your monthly management fee, and then, of course, if we have to find a new tenant. But here's the thing that's so unique. When you have a tenant that gives notice, or where we give notice to a tenant because either we don't want to keep them for whatever reason or they're not willing to pay our higher rent that we're requesting, we have 2 months to find a new tenant. So when I put a lease in place, it doesn't matter whether it's an apartment or a duplex or a home. The last 2 months of that tenancy, we're going to be marketing, put a key box on the door, show that property. And that's one of the many ways we're able to keep that vacancy rate so low. And so it doesn't matter when you buy with me, it doesn't matter what type of property you buy, the last 2 months we're going to find a new tenant. And so it just allows us to, as long as we're buying in the right areas, pricing the property right, you really shouldn't hit vacancy for more than just the make-ready period. These are all the different places we advertise our properties, and so this is just some of them. But these are very, very important places because a lot of people don't have access to these. And so because I'm a realtor, not only is it posting to the IDX and the MLS, which is thousands and thousands of websites, but if a tenant were to go onto another real estate company's website and search for a property, it's even going to show there. And so, again, it's just about getting maximum exposure. When we look at an application that comes in, when your property's up for rent, an application comes in, they do it online. They have to go through TransUnion and submit a very extensive background check search. And so they're going to have to answer background questions about themselves, which makes sure that there's run through the credit processing company. And then what we're going to do is we're going to go back and we're going to look at their employment. We're going to look at their criminal background, the credit history, check the credit score. We're going to be talking to their current and previous landlords, find out what type of tenants they were, if they had any pets, if the pets were allowed, if they did any lease breaches. We're going to look and see if they've been evicted, but we're also going to look for habitual bankruptcy filers and those that have liens or judgments against them. We sometimes find that tenants that have filed one or two bankruptcies are more likely to file another. And that can be a very costly and time-consuming venture. So we want to make sure we're not putting those tenants in. And then in addition, just because someone wasn't evicted doesn't mean they didn't do damage or didn't pay their rent. They could have just taken off. And so a company like me is going to go against their credit and put a lien against them or a judgment against them. And so we're also checking liens and judgments to make sure that that's not the case as well. Because, of course, you can try to contact a current landlord and previous landlord, but you want to get as complete a picture as possible. And sometimes you're going to have to look to their credit to be able to do that. And a typical credit check's not going to show that. Our leasing requirements are very strict. We're looking for under $2,000 a month on a rental price. We're looking for at least 2.5 times the rent as income. We're looking, of course, at the rental history and employment, as I mentioned. At least 1 month's rent as security deposit, as I mentioned earlier, but many tenants do pay more. And then if they have pets, they're not only going to pay a pet deposit, but a non-refundable pet fee, assuming you agree to allow the pet. We don't work with any aggressive breed dogs because it can potentially void an insurance policy with some companies, and so we just don't take that risk. We don't allow above-ground pools. We don't allow playsets, anything that could be a potential liability or cause an issue with the insurance company. The tenants agree in that lease that they are going to be purchasing renter's insurance, and that just protects you so that if there's some type of catastrophe inside the home, you're not going to have to worry about them coming back to you for that. Of course, they can always try, but we just point them back to the lease where we told them and that they agreed they would be purchasing insurance to cover their own belongings. There also, if there's a pool on the property, which most investors don't buy homes with pools, but this is Texas. It gets hot. A lot of people do. We make sure the tenant provides proof of liability insurance and names you on that insurance against that pool. So just an extra protection for you to make sure in case anything were to ever happen. Our lease contract is a Texas Association of Realtors lease. It's 14 pages for just the standard lease, so that gives you an idea of how lengthy and how strong that lease is. It is absolutely in the landlord's favor. It's an as-is lease. In our lease, it doesn't matter whether it's a single family or a multifamily. The tenant is responsible for pest control, monthly air filter changes, the regular maintenance of the property. That's not something that's the landlord's responsibility. So things like if the sink backs up, they need to put Drano down the sink. If the disposal jams, they need to unjam it, those types of things. The only thing that you're responsible for is normal wear and tear and items that are under property code of landlord responsibility. So when a repair comes in, the first thing we're going to do is try and defuse it. We're going to, you know, is it garbage disposal that you put the key in and turn it? Is that going to open it up? Or if a plug's not working, have you checked your GFCIs to make sure one's not tripped? Those types of things. And single-family properties and in small multifamily where everyone has a private yard, the tenant's also responsible for their own lawn care, tree trimming, all of that. Tenants are to provide their own fridge, washer, and dryer. And they're also responsible for any items that are caused by their negligence or abuse. And so, again, we go back to the air filter situation. If that were to do damage to the system and we could tie that to the tenant, then we would go after the tenant for that expense. And very frequently we do that, which is one of the reasons why when we have these move-outs, we do such thorough walkthroughs so we can bill every possible cost back to the tenant. it's not about overkill, but it's about being fair to you and to them, and we want to make sure we have adequate documentation to support what we're doing. We talked a little bit about how we have this online system for the tenants, and so when tenants have a repair request, unless it's an emergency, they have to submit it online. That way, it makes sure we get enough details, everything is documented, and it also makes sure that we can try and diffuse it with them over the email. And so if there is an emergency or something urgent, we have staff available 24/7. We have an emergency repair list that brings everybody in order. I did mention about that home warranty. The cost here is $480 a year for a single family or $440 a year for a condo. If you have a large multi-unit building, we can also sometimes get that cost down. Or if you have many properties, like my 44 property owner who happens to carry home warranties, we were able to get that cost down. So we'll look at each situation individually. The contractors that we use for emergencies and after hours don't offer those really high exacerbated rates because, again, they don't work exclusively for me in terms of an employment, but because of my volume, they're working pretty much for me 24/7. And so it allows me to have a little bit of control over how they operate. And as I also mentioned earlier, we take care of sending 1099 forms to any contractors that we pay on your behalf. If you were to pay a contractor directly, then you would have to send them that tax notice, but instead we take care of that for you, again, at no charge. So this is what you really want to hear. This is how I can help you get into property so that you and I can be talking about how I'm going to manage them for you. So we have many lenders that we work with, three right now who do foreign national financing. As many of you know, there was a lot more foreign national financing three, 4 years ago than what there is today. I do have access to it, and what I've done is I've compiled the general information from all of them, and this is going to give you a good guide of what to expect. When you call me, we'll talk through the details, me and my investment team, and then we're going to refer you to the one that we think is going to be the best fit for you. These types of financing is going to work on whether it's multifamily or one to four unit. So when I'm talking one to four unit, I'm talking the single family, townhome, duplex, triplex, fourplex, condo, apartment, those types of things. It can be used for the initial purchase, but interestingly enough, I also have financing available for refinance and cash out. So for those of you that have already paid cash for a property here, we can help you get money out of it to put towards another property, and my contacts will help you with that. So going into the terms, the typical down payment is going to be 30 to 40%. They're quoting me 30%. I'm seeing it anywhere from 30 to 40. If you get into multifamily, sometimes it's going to get up to 50%. So it's going to depend on you as a borrower. They're going to look at your credit file wherever you live. So if you're in Australia, they're going to be looking at your Australian credit file with many of these banks. They're going to be looking at your assets and how much cash you have. And so for your run-of-the-mill, everyday average investor with no U.S. history, typically what I'm seeing is 30 to 35% down. If it's a multifamily project, I'm typically seeing 40 to 50. The interest rates are varying from 5.75 to 7. Now, right now we're quoting between 5.75 and 6.25. So that's the range as of today, according to the lender. It can be a brand new LLC. So you literally can get with me. I get you to an attorney. We get you an LLC created. You immediately buy. You don't have to have a history. Having a history helps. The more history you have, the stronger you are as a borrower, the more assets you have, the more they're going to let you spend. But you can come with a brand new LLC with no real estate experience and be able to get a loan if you qualify. They, as I mentioned, might want a foreign credit report. They may want to see your assets or bank statements. I would say about half of the banks are doing that. Most of them are just going against the LLC and wanting some cash here for the LLC. Sometimes whatever your down payment and costs are going to be, they're going to want that money here for 30 days before closing. So if you go under contract on a property September 1st, they're going to want the money here all of September before you close October 1st. Typically, that's not an issue, but it is something you want to be aware of. So if you're putting 30% down on a $150,000 home, you want to make sure you have that $45,000 sitting in an account. Many of my clients do pay cash for their first one or two properties and then leverage financing against them, or they refinance them to purchase more. There's also some blanket loans available and things like that available for foreign national financing where instead of lending property by property, you lend on a group. So if you already own three or four properties, you may do a bulk refinance and a blanket loan against everything that you have as opposed to refinancing them individually. And so, again, when you call us and we go through the details, we're going to be able to guide you down those processes to see what's going to make the most sense. I'm going to go through a few example properties that some of my clients have purchased. This first property is located in Roy City. This was actually purchased by one of my Australian investors. Bathroom. Roy City is a lakeside city. It's directly adjacent to Lake Ray Hubbard. It's right not too far from the George Bush Turnpike expansion, which is one of those toll roads we talked about. Funny enough, the city was only about 15 minutes from downtown, but nobody developed it. And so all this time it was considered the quote, the boonies. And so then this highway opened, and we all saw that coming, and we steered everybody out this way, which is what we're known for. And so anyhow, they bought this property for $125,000. They put $5,495 into it, built in 2002, almost 1,900 square feet. You can see the monthly numbers here, and the rent was $1,549, which was cash flowed at $968.17. Now, of course, if you take a loan out, those numbers are going to change, so these numbers are assuming a cash purchase. There's another one in Roy City. This one was also purchased by one of our Australian investors. This one is built in 1988. It was a three-bed, two-bath, bought for $101,900. Renovations were $33.95, and so this one with a rent of $1,275, cash flowed at $782.21 a month.
Sorry, Leah, just
this is a duplex in Wiley.
Sorry, Leah, can I just jump in there with a quick question? Just before we move on to a few more properties, I've just got one or two questions here that I should probably ask now. Is the financing that you were talking about, is that just limited to the Fort Worth, Texas area? The Fort Worth
No,
area?
It's limited to all of DFW. I know there are lenders that are only lending in certain counties. My lenders are not those lenders. We are too big, and we work with too many clients to use those. So I can access them, and there are many that are only working in, say, Grayson County, which is way to the north. But, no, my lenders are willing to do foreign national financing across all of DFW.
Okay. And Australians are not going to have too much difficulty getting these sort of loans. Is that correct? Is that my understanding from what you said?
That's right. I mean, we have clients that get them all the time. They look at it case by case. I have had people come to me that have very little cash and their income's not that high and they can't get a loan. But if you're a strong borrower, you do well in Australia, and you show the ability to afford it and you have the income to support it or the cash to support it, you really shouldn't have an issue. Of course, it's case by case, and they're going to talk to you and go through everything, but I have hundreds and hundreds of Australian clients with loans on properties. So I just, it's not something that's that difficult. You just have to have the contacts.
Okay. I've got a couple of other questions, but they can wait till the end.
Sure.
Okay.
So this one is a duplex. Oh, anything else before I move on? All right. So this one is a duplex. Each side was a two-bedroom, two-bath. It's just under 2,300 square feet, built in 2003. The price on this one was $180,000. It needed $2,475 in repair. This one rents at $20.25 a month, which cash flows at $12.02. Now, when we acquired this one, it was renting significantly less, and they were on month-to-month tenancy. So the first thing that I did was renew all those tenants at a higher rate. None of them moved. We renewed them, and as you can see now, it performs great. It was still performing well, but I just knew it could perform a little bit better. And this particular property, we've got six or seven on the same street here, and they do great. I love duplexes. You're going to hear us push a lot of duplexes because they have a great, great potential. This is another duplex. This is in Princeton. This is a far north suburb. This is in one of those expansion territories directly located off of the highway. This was a duplex with each side having four bedrooms and two bathrooms, 2,990 square feet total, built in 2010. Sales price was $195,000. It needed $700 in renovation. Now, it's very, very uncommon to have a property that needs that little work, so I want you to take that with a grain of salt. Usually it's going to need a little more than this. This one just happened to be immaculate. This one rents at $21.75 a month. This is another one I had to go in and immediately raise rents. This one I had to do over a period of 3 months because one of the leases was not month-to-month yet, but now it cash flows at $13.11 a month. When you look at our available properties, you're going to see property number. And so when you work with our company, we have anywhere between 60 and 80 available properties that we're showcasing at a time. And so we're going to reference everything by property number. And so if you see one of these, you'll work with us and you get the link to the list of properties. Make sure you know that property number when you contact us because that's how we're going to reference these. This is a great property. This is a 32-unit multifamily. Each unit is a one-bedroom. This was an extended stay hotel that they completely gutted and renovated and turned into individual apartments. It's listed at $1.1 million. Again, it's got 32 one-bedroom units. The numbers here are estimated because, again, we're looking at a completely vacant property right now. But we're estimating rents low at $19,450, the expenses here, which cash flows at $84.69 a month. Now, this landlord is willing to submeter the electric included in the purchase, which we would absolutely do because then you would not be responsible for the electric bill, and then that utility cost would drop significantly. But even as it is, you can see the return percentages that I've posted here are very, very good. So this is a great property. Renovation just finished, I believe, a week and a half ago, so it is ready to go, and it's beautiful. They do have refrigerators inside most of the units, and so we would leave them in there, but in that lease, we would non-warranty them, which means when we lease up these properties, we're going to put in there, we're giving you this fridge as a convenience, but if it breaks, we're not responsible to fix it. This next one is an 8-unit. It's a 2-bedroom, 1-bath for each 8-unit. It's about 667 square feet per unit. And this building is right on a transitioning area of Dallas. As you can see, downtown Dallas is in the background. It's got close proximity to the highway, and it's close proximity to all the biking trails and paths and all the growth that's going on here. And so you've got lots of new development within just a few minutes of this property. So it's in that path of where things are going to be skyrocketing, which is why we're pushing this area. This one rents at $4,576. It is 100% occupied. Cash flows at $2,684 a month. Again, you can see those return numbers. It's very good. This one's priced at only $360,000, so it's a great price for 8 units. This is another multifamily. It's 15 units. This one is priced at $750,000. Now, this is unique. These are actually townhomes, but it's 15 individual townhomes. Each one is a 3-bed, 2-bath, 2-car garage, 1,440 square feet, and they are renting for a total of $11,250. They're underpriced right now, but it's performing very, very well at its current rent. I would increase dues. The HOA here includes your blanket insurance. All you have to do is purchase additional liability, so it keeps your insurance costs very low, as you'll see. So the cash flow on this is about $6,600 a month. This is a great potential. It's not too far from downtown. It's in a really, really good area, very, very convenient for the buses, convenient for schools, for shopping, all those different things people are looking for. And these are big units. They're almost 1,500 square feet each. So it's like purchasing 15 individual properties all at once. It's just one bulk purchase. This is another multifamily. It's 8 units. As you can see, it's 3 buildings. It's 8 units that are 1-bedroom, 1-bath. This one rents at $4,000 a month right now. There are no utilities that are paid by the landlord. Everything is individual. They look like houses, though, so it's like a bunch of duplexes, essentially what it looks like. They're very cute. This one's priced at $298,000, and you'll see that it cash flows here at $2,600 a month. This one here is a fourplex. It's 780 square feet for each unit, bedroom, one bath each. It rents at $2,150. Cash flows just over $1,300. This is another one in one of these growing suburbs right off the highway. It's virtually untapped right now. This one's going to need some renovation. It has green paint on the exterior, so the first thing we would do is come in and cream that up, and I'm anticipating a new roof. So based on sight unseen, I would budget around $15,000 to $20,000 for rehab for this, but the price is fantastic, and then we would raise rents. So I featured here some of our multifamily, and I've done that for a reason. Our single family flies, and so I don't want to show you a bunch of single families that are going to be gone tomorrow. What I will tell you is we've got close to 25 available, including some new construction left, and so if you're interested, please reach out to us. Our new construction and our single families go anywhere from $100,000 to $150,000, depending on the size, and we have tons and tons of multifamily in 2 to 4 units. I encourage you, if you're even considering investing in Dallas, give us a call. We can get you access to our list, and you can start perusing. We offer that list open to anybody who's a client of ours, and then from there you can communicate back and forth with us with questions and information on those, and it's updated every day, and so you can go into that list at any time and see what's available.
I've just got a couple of questions at the moment, and one of them actually affects me, and that's some of us have properties that are controlled by homeowners associations, and what we're finding is that these are the most difficult people that you could ever possibly deal with. Do you deal directly with the homeowners associations? Are you in touch with them when it comes to addressing issues in relation to violations that occur from time to time?
Yes, we are. So let me start by saying that those who are writing that probably are dealing with the property manager who's not visiting. The majority of things that an HOA are going to cite you for are things that you can catch early with preliminary visits. And so it's going to be things like peeling siding, fence stain needing work, lawn not being mowed, those types of things. So, yes, we do sometimes get citations on our properties, but the HOAs also know us, and we give them our information to make us the point of contact, so you really shouldn't be bothered with those notices. but most of the notices are going to be caught before it ever happens, because if I see a fence with an issue, I'm going to quote that for repair long before the HOA is going to drive out there and see it.
I would say
probably 60% of our current HOAs.
Yeah, I think we'd all like to be in that situation. But certainly I've had a lot of violations recently, and I'm sure it's for the reasons that you say, and that that is my property manager's not visiting.
Yeah. It's you know, the other thing is that we've had a lot of rain, a lot of dryness, change in temperatures, and that can cause a lot of issues with the exterior of properties. And part of what we do when we do those visits is we're looking for caulking that needs to be redone, siding that's starting to peel, those types of things. And those are going to be your most common HOA violations outside of lack of lawn maintenance.
Now, I've also had a question that relates to a particular property in particular areas. I'm not sure if you're familiar with them, but something like Providence Village I've been asked about. Is this the comments being made by one of the owners there that the property values appear to have dropped in the last 2 to 3 years? Is that the case, do you know, in areas like Savannah and Providence Village? Are they areas that you're familiar with?
I have many properties in Savannah and Providence Village. I wouldn't say that the values have dropped. There was a large influx of foreclosure properties in those areas between the last 3 to 4 years. And what happened is prices were high to begin with, and then the market started to drop, and a lot of people defaulted on their loans all at once. Those properties all hit the market, and they sold very, very cheap because the banks were in them for very, very cheap, because when they originally bought the properties, that area was so undeveloped and so new. So when the banks sold them off, they were able to sell them very cheap. And so you had a large sum of properties that were sold well below market value at that point in time. So artificially, the numbers do look a little bit low in that area compared to 3 or 4 years ago, but the numbers have gone way back up. If you had come to me a year and a half ago and asked me to sell a home in Providence you'd bought 4 years ago, it would have been much harder than selling a home today. I would say now we're probably about flush with where they were at the height. But I do know, you know, sometimes people, they have a property that for whatever reason they paid more than perhaps what it's worth today, or with the cost it may be worth more than that. We're always happy to assess the value of a property you have and see if there's a way that we can sell it for you for a good price. But if not, that area is growing very, very quickly. There is so much money and so much new development going out there, new malls, new infrastructure, a new toll road. I really wouldn't worry about it, because that area is going to be just fine.
That was Providence Village you were talking about. And is Savannah the same area, or is that a different area?
They're the same area. They're right down from each other. They're both off Highway 380 in Denton County. They're very, very high volume territories for us, and we do sell out there, but their prices have gotten so high now it's very difficult to obtain.
I don't have any other questions at this stage. Kathy, are you there? Hello? Is anybody there?
I'm here.
I'm still here.
Larry, I'm glad somebody's there. If we wanted, I do have another question. If we wanted to start investing and have to go through the finance path, how much time do we need to allow?
Typically, to get everything ready for the finance, it's going to be less than a week, as long as you already have an LLC. If you don't already have an LLC, then we'll need to do that first step before you ever approach financing, because they're going to want an LLC before they're going to look at lending. They will not lend to your personal name if you're not an American citizen.
Yeah, and that the LLCs don't take long to set up, though, in Texas. From memory, it's only 3 or 4 days, I think.
You can pay for rush service and get it done very quickly. The standard service, if you just do the regular package, is between a week and 2 weeks. So, yeah, it's very fast.
Yeah, and does the LLC have to be registered in Texas? Well, it obviously has to be registered
in
Texas.
No, it does not.
It obviously has to be registered for business in Texas, yeah.
Right, it has to have a Texas Secretary of State registration, but I have clients that create LLCs out of Nevada and many other states. It doesn't matter where the LLC is created.
Yeah, and is the same finance terms available on multis as they are on single-family homes?
The real difference, the rate's going to be pretty much the same. The only difference may be, depending on the multifamily, they may want a little bit more down payment, as I mentioned.
Yep. Just waiting to see if there's any more other questions coming through. If there are not, then I'll just go back to me as the presenter. I'll just do that now, I think.
Hey, John, this is Ron. Can you hear me?
Yes, Ron.
Yeah, while you're doing that, I just wanted Lita quickly share part of her approach and what I think makes her team a little bit more unique than some of the other providers that we at the network work with. Lita has not commented on her strategy about really, we have many investors who really think or they believe that, oh, I'm going to buy and I'm going to hold this for 30 years. And Lita's strategy, well, Lita, why don't you comment on that and how you're looking to, hey, ride the market wave and then when it makes sense, actually liquidate and transition into a higher yielding asset.
Absolutely. So the majority of our clients hold 2 to 4 years. The reason being, I've always been a firm believer that if somebody's telling you to hold long term, it's because it doesn't have enough equity and enough support up front. And so when we're looking at properties, we're looking for areas that are high growth, as I mentioned. And so we want to make sure that we capitalize on that growth and we capitalize on the instant equity capture to purchase. And so going back to my three-tier approach, number one is going to be that initial equity, you know, based on making sure that you have a property that has equity now and that's going to appreciate and have equity later, making sure it cash flows, and making sure it's in one of those high-growth areas. And so in doing that, we want to make sure that you're buying a property with the understanding that we're going to come to you when it's time to sell. We assess property values at every lease renewal, and so when we tell you that it's time to renew one of the leases, we're going to say, look, do you want to take a look at where the market is today? I think it's time to start considering selling, and ultimately it's your choice. We have some clients that they hold. That's all they do, and that's what they want to do. That's what they've been trained to do, and so, of course, we support that. But as I mentioned, we're constantly selling out of properties, and so our clients are often selling those properties, taking that equity out and turning every one investment into two or turning two into four and so on and so on. And so we're positioning from the very beginning to put you in that place because you're not going to retire on one property. The goal is to turn that one into many, many more. And the faster you can rotate them, the better that you can do that. But there's a right time to do it. And by us monitoring the market, we're able to help guide you as to when that time is, especially in an area that is booming so quickly. We know once it's maximized on that growth, we're going to sell. So as I mentioned, some of those properties were in Royce City, which is one city to the side of Rockwall and Rowlett. We were selling Rockwall and Rowlett 3 years ago, telling people that George Bush expansion was going to happen. And they've all sold out now, and now we've moved on to the next city out. So that's been our strategy from day one.
I've just got a few more questions popping up now. Just one, just for clarification on the finance. The finance is only available in the state of Texas that you're offering, or can people cash out and refinance properties in other states?
I have a couple of lenders that can certainly look at properties in other states. Much of what we're doing is going through direct banks, and these banks are located all over the U.S., so those are located here. But those banks can write on other states as well. And so depending on where your property is located, they can certainly help you find an avenue to refinance out of a property in another state as well.
Now, the next question was in relation to tornadoes. I think I know the answer to this one. There are some areas in Texas that have tornadoes, but I don't think they affect Dallas-Fort Worth area. Is that correct?
Not much. Now, I say that. We did have one go through downtown Fort Worth a few years ago, but I've lived here my whole life, and I've never been close enough to a tornado to really have to hide from one. They typically hit up in Oklahoma and beyond. We have something called straight-line winds here and bad hailstorms. But your insurance protects against that, and it's a very easy process to file a claim, and it typically is not catastrophic. It's maybe a roof or a fence, and so that's about the worst that we worry about here.
Yeah. Now, typically, multis are harder to sell at a later date. Is that the case, and what are the options for exiting when you own a multi?
Well, I'll tell you right now, it's really not hard to sell anything, and I'm sure that some of our friends over at Rowell can mention about this as well, that it's very, very hard to find properties to begin with, which is why it's so unique that we have as many options as we do. It's just based on connections. But selling out of multifamily in a market like this is actually quite easy because there are so many people trying to become investors. In a bad market, it is absolutely true. Selling out of a multifamily is a little bit harder than selling out of a single. But it's just like selling anything else. As long as the price is right and you price it effectively, it will sell. It's just about if you're looking to get top dollar in a depressed market, it's not going to matter whether you're selling single or multi. It's not going to happen. But, again, we're looking in a market that no matter what's happened, you know, historically until now, everything has stayed very strong. So even in the worst of market, we were still able to sell our clients' properties. So I'm not too concerned at that at this point. I really feel like if Dallas's market takes that much of a hit, we have much bigger problems.
And your contact details, we just ask everybody to contact you through Real Wealth Network. Is that the easiest way, Kathy, Ron?
Yeah.
You can forward on contact details.
Yeah, that would be the easiest way.
Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely. Just send an email to, info@realwealthnetwork.com, and we're happy to provide our info to you.
Okay. Well, at the moment, I'm showing one of Larry's screens. If we can move on, I'll come back to Leah if I get any more questions. But Larry, I'm just showing your screen of Housing Affordability Index at the moment. Perhaps you'd like to talk about that. Is Larry there? I hope so.
Yes, cough button on. trying to keep quieter. I'm not seeing your slide on my screen.
Oh,
I don't know if the rest of the people are seeing it. I can try to talk about it off of memory, but I want to make sure that the there you go.
It might come up now. Yep.
Yep. I seen it there. This is basically obviously talking about when I'm showing these slides as a kind of national statistics, as Kathy and Ron and everybody at the Real Wealth Network talk about. There really is no such thing as a national housing market. So these are basically an average of the whole U.S. as a whole, if you will. But it gives you a good insight as to, you know, coming from another country, you know, why the U.S. And it basically showed you here for basically about a decade, housing affordability was running pretty constant there. And then in 2003, 2004, 2005, and 2006, the affordability just, went way down as housing prices boomed. Of course, as the pendulum started swinging and the housing bust happened, the home affordability went way up as the prices were dropping. We are kind of starting to rebalance that now, but you see by the little arrow on the right, we're sitting there at about 175 basis points, which is about 50 basis points higher than that historic average. And that basically represents the opportunity that we still have here. I mean, we're still buying homes very affordably in the U.S. as a whole. The markets that Lee is talking about is even more favorable than that. So I say, when you look at national numbers and then look at the numbers that we're talking about in these emerging markets, it goes to illustrate that there's some very good opportunity here yet. And that's that slide. If you want to move on. Sure, go ahead.
One thing that's so unique about Texas as a whole is that our cost of living is very, very low. And so if you look at many of the major professions here, and we're not the only state, there's a few, we get paid the same for our doctors and our lawyers and these things, but our cost of living is a third. And so that's one of the reasons why you see so much growth and expansion in shopping and all these districts and things that we have here, and many of the cities that Real Wealth works with, they work the same way.
Absolutely. This was just kind of an interesting one I thought I'd throw in there. Foreclosure inventory down, some small increases in delinquencies. You can kind of see the consistency, again, that happened over the last decade, from 95 to 2005. Foreclosures running there, you know, less than 0.5%. Not a whole lot of foreclosures going on up until, you know, the market shift happened there in 2004, 2005, 2006. You see the foreclosures rose, as did the delinquencies and the non-currents. They're all rebounding now and coming back in line. The blue line, the non-current, basically means these people just are behind on their mortgage payments. They are running behind. The foreclosure and delinquencies are kind of coming pretty close to normal, just a little bit above normal, but there's still quite a few people that are having some non-current loans, so it'll be interesting to watch that. And I think that kind of probably might be something, Amy, correct me if I'm wrong, or Leah, on that, but I think that's kind of what you're talking about in that particular marketplace, where a sudden influx of some foreclosures came on the market and created just a little burp in the market temporarily. And that's absolutely true.
Now, I'm not dealing in most foreclosures. We're dealing in other types of sourcing, only because the foreclosures are going so far over their list price, they're actually going at or over market value, as are most properties. We're getting offers over list price all day, which is unheard of for Texas.
Right, absolutely. But that's kind of what that illustrated. This is just a very brief little, we talk about the inflation rate is predicted to go nuts here over the next coming decade in the U.S. At least that's what many people are talking about. And, of course, the best safe haven for, protecting your inflation there is real estate. We've talked about that for a long time. This here basically breaks real estate down into multiple different categories. self-storage obviously comes in number one on top. It's a very profitable business, but exit strategies are very limited. Number two, a very close second, is residential real estate, and that's everything that Lee has been talking about tonight. Residential real estate is just a very, very good tool to protect against inflation, and it's one of the highest and most liquid investments investment classes within real estate. And that kind of concludes those slides, unless you have any questions. Hello?
I'm here.
I think we're having a little technical difficulty. Everybody's chiming out. Are you still there, John?
Sorry, is that better?
There, I'll hear you.
Sorry, I'm talking to myself. I was talking to myself. I don't have any more questions, but I'm sure that if anybody everybody realizes that if they've got questions, they can certainly direct them to me through the Cashflow USA website or to directly to Real Wealth Network. I'm sure there's any number of people that would like to help with any questions that people have. So with that, no more questions. I'd like to thank Leah for being with us today, and Larry, Kathy, Ron, thank you very much for your participation, and thanks again for a great presentation. And I wish you all a great night.
Thanks, John.
Thanks you too, John.
Thank you. Catch you next time. Bye.